How do you get through it? Suffering is inevitable. How do you get through it? Pastor, show me how to make it through this time when somebody that I love is hurting. When somebody that I don't like has hurt me. When somebody that was so close to me is no longer here. Pastor, how do I get through? How do I make it through this time? Well, we talked about last week, through it all. Through it all. The first thing, through it all, we said, is that you've got to reach up. Through it all, you've got to reach up. And you've got to worship God. That in the midst of your suffering, you might stop doing a lot of things. There might be a lot of things that you won't be able to do. But in the midst of your suffering, don't stop worshiping God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Institute of Bible Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 5. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 5.
In verse 1, 1 21, chapter 2, and verse 21. Peter writing to believers that were going through a time of suffering and persecution, says in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Suffering. Suffering is manifested in many ways. Suffering can be in the form of physical. There are people who have been afflicted in their bodies and they go through a time of suffering. Some people deal with mental anguish and they go through suffering, and some people are even dealing with emotional issues and that causes suffering in their lives. We see that suffering can come in the form of relationships, that people can be in a relationship that causes them to go through a time of suffering, adultery, divorce, problems in a relationship can cause suffering. And we know that illness can cause suffering. When we see people on their bed of affliction and we see them go through a time of pain and suffering, our hearts reach out to them. We find in our lives that our family can cause us some suffering. Your children that maybe haven't grown up and gone the way that you would have liked to see them go. Not that they would follow your will or not that they would follow the plan that you had, but just that they would go out into life and that they would do something that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And when that doesn't happen, sometimes the pain of that can be excruciating. And then sad to say that somewhere, according to statistics, right now in this country, somebody's being beaten. Some lady is being beaten by some man. Some person is being abused in a home somewhere. And they are going through a time of suffering. And we see that when you go through pain and suffering, that this is a time that's excruciating. It's a time when you feel grief and sorrow in your soul. It's a time when you are wounded. It's a time that you are hurt. And we have a lot of people telling you today that if you're walking right with God and if you're living right, that you won't have to suffer. But I don't read that in the scripture. I read where it says that God has called believers at some point in time to go through some suffering. Oh, I would like to have the pie in the sky all the time. I would like to have the roses all the time. But we know that in the roses, there are some thorns that come along. And so there is suffering in this life. And for somebody to stand and tell you that you will never in your whole life, that you can live your whole life without suffering, my brothers and sisters, if you bought that, you would be greatly deceived. And so what I'm hoping today as we conclude this message is that we will be able to give you something that you can hold on to, something that you can take beyond this sermon. And let me remind you also that a couple weeks ago, I shared with you that we have some resources in the bookstore, some little pamphlets on suffering, on grief, that are available to you. So if you know somebody who is dealing with issues that is causing pain in their life and you want to share some resources with them, that we do have some, or even maybe to take one of these messages and be able to share it with them, because there's a whole lot of folk in this world that are hurting today. You would not believe the number of people who are hurting. Some people are a little bit more vocal about their hurt. Some people are a little more expressive about their hurt. But then many people just go along quietly about their business and they're hurting in their soul. You might work on your job and people are coming in and out that door every day. Man, there's some hurting folk on that job. In your family, there's some folks that are hurting. And so we as God's people, and one of the things that we're going to point out today is that God has called us that who have gone through a time of suffering, who have gone through a time of struggle. God has called us to go back and minister to somebody else. God has allowed you, and God has shaped you, and God has molded you through that time of suffering, that he took you through that fire, that he washed over you through it, that he brought you out on the other side. And so he's saying, here, now you are ready. You have your PhD. Now go and minister to someone else. See, the problem is that during the course of the education, some people get failing grades. And they don't pass the course. And so when they come out on the other side, they're not any better off on the other side because they haven't learned anything in the midst of the fire that they were going through. But God is saying, look, when you go through the course, and that's the objective that we have here this morning. We want to teach you to be able to go through the course successfully so that when you get on the other side, that you'll be able to help somebody else out. Amen. Suffering we're talking about today. And we said that when it comes to suffering, sometimes we shared with you a couple of weeks ago that some people go into denial. Well, you know, I'm not suffering. You know, I'm not hurt. This is not happening to me. Or some people just get angry. And their anger can be rooted deep down in their soul. And they just seethe and they just writhe in their spirit. Or maybe sometimes they vent it. And when it comes out, it's very destructive. Some people begin to bargain with God and say, God, if you will just do this, God, if you will remove that, God, if you will take this away, I will do this or I will do that. And then some folk just go into flat out depression. Their suffering causes them to get discouraged. And as we have said time after time again, sometimes folk get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And so they don't handle suffering in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Well, how do you get through it? How do you get through it? Suffering is inevitable. How do you get through it? Pastor, show me how to make it through this time when somebody that I love is hurting. When somebody that I don't like has hurt me. When somebody that was so close to me is no longer here. Pastor, how do I get through? How do I make it through this time? Well, we talked about last week, through it all. Through it all. The first thing, through it all, we said, is that you've got to reach up. Through it all, you've got to reach up, and you've got to worship God, that in the midst of your suffering, you might stop doing a lot of things. There might be a lot of things that you won't be able to do, but in the midst of your suffering, don't stop worshiping God. Well, I'm done. God, I don't know how many people I've heard say, God let me down. You know, I can't believe that God did this. I can't believe, why did God let this happen? And the one chance that you have
to have some strength through that time, you've let go. Oh, it's all right to question. It's all right to ask God why it happened. But after all the questions are done, after the anger and all the stuff that you got out, you got to keep on worshiping God. Job, we read about him. It said that in the midst of all that Job went through, that he fell down and he worshiped God. He fell down and worshiped God. You got to reach out. In the midst, whatever you're going through, don't stop worshiping God. Get you a song. Get you a verse. Get you a prayer partner. Get something that's going to take you through from the spiritual element. That, you know, we are human beings, and our natural tendency is to moan and groan and complain and be bitter and discouraged and depressed. That's our natural tendency. Every day, if you're going through suffering, if you are suffering right now, if there's something in your life that's causing you to suffer right now, the first thing you need to realize when you get up, hey, I'm in a battle today. This is a battle. You know, as soon as I put my foot on the floor, I'm in a battle. And a lot of times my attitude is going to determine whether or not I win this battle or how successful I am in the battle. Need I remind you that Job lost his livestock and his servants. He lost his sons and his daughters. He had oppression or opposition from his spouse. He was distanced from God. He had boils all over his body. He had open sores and worms eating his flesh. He had nightmares every night. He was losing weight. His eyes were red. He couldn't sleep. His skin was peeling, and he had a high fever. And that's all documented in the book of Job. And in the midst of all that, Job reached up, and he worshiped God. Man, what a testimony. You want to make it through suffering? You got to learn how to worship God through it all. The second thing that you got to do as you deal with suffering, not only do you have to reach up, but you've got to reach after. And we saw in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So not only do you have to reach up and worship, but then you've got to reach after the example. Man, you have an example to follow. You have an example of somebody who suffered. And in the midst of his suffering, you know what? It says he didn't give up. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. As he went through the nailing on the cross, as he went through the ridicule, as he went through the mocking, as they took a spear and they jammed it up into his side, as the water and blood flowed out, as he felt God had turned his back on him, as he hung there on the cross, he didn't give up. He kept on, keeping on. He persevered through it all. Not only did he not give up, but you know what it also says about him? That he didn't sin. It said, who when he was persecuted, it said he did not sin. How do you sin? We talked about this a little bit last week. How do we sin in the midst of suffering? We sin by talking bad about other people, especially the ones that's causing us to suffer. We go around and start talking about them, and then we commit sin. We sin when we have a bad attitude in the midst of suffering. We sin when we do wrong things as a result of suffering. So you got to follow after the example. Man, you have an example. You have a good example to follow after, and that is Jesus Christ. You've got to reach up. You've got to reach after. And we left off here last week with the idea that you've got to reach in. And as you reach in, there are a couple things that we want to encourage you. And the first one we talked about last week, and that is you got to reach in and you got to count, you got to find some joy. The choir sang this morning, rejoice, rejoice, as they sang, rejoice. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am to be happy. You got to find a reason to rejoice in the midst of your suffering. Like we said last week, you're not happy because you are suffering, but you're finding a reason to rejoice in the midst of your suffering. James says, count it all joy when you fall into
various trials. And now we want to pick up the message this week. Reach in and find some patience. You got to reach in. And in the midst of your suffering, you got to be patient. You have got to be patient. Your healing or your deliverance might not be tonight. It might not be tomorrow. And so you've got to put in your mind that I'm in this for the long haul. That I'm in this thing and I'm not, you know what the songwriter say, I came this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. And I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to turn around. And you've got to be patient, and you've got to hang in there. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 5. Here, once again, James is writing to some people who are under persecution, who are going through trials and tribulation. And look what James says to them. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. He said, be patient until the Lord comes and takes and ends your situation. You need to just be patient, hang in there until the Lord comes. All right? Behold the farmer. He waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Wow. Man, the Lord is going to show up in your situation. Y'all remember, or many of you remember the song by Sam and Dave. Hold on. I'm coming. Hold on. I'm coming. What are you going through right now? It might seem like the Lord is far, far away. Where is God at in all this? When is God going to do something? Hold on. I'm coming. That child that is out there in the world that has wandered away from God, you know, just keep on praying. Just keep on putting them on the altar. Just keep on lifting them up before the Lord. And even, you know, the problem is sometimes God don't work in our time frame, in our time period, so we give up. You know, when we first, man, we were excited about fasting and praying that God would bring about a deliverance in our loved one's life. We were interested in having prayer times to come together. But now it seems like it's so long. It seemed like, man, it just seemed like, oh, I've been praying for so long and nothing is happening. Be patient. Be patient. I heard the story about a lady who prayed for her husband to get saved. And she prayed for him for over 60 years to get saved. And the lady died. And the husband got saved at her funeral. Hold on. Hold on. I'm coming. Look at your notes today. Now, this is the second part of the notes. You got the first page from last week. This is the second part of this message. Through it all, and we're looking, reach in to find patience. In the first century, James wrote to encourage believers who were going through suffering to be patient until the coming of the Lord. In this passage, he gives them three concepts to consider during the time of suffering. First of all, there was an exhortation concerning patience. He tells them, be patient. This word, be patient, or this phrase, be patient, comes from the Greek word makrothumeo. It comes from makros, which means long, and thumos, which means temper. So what is he saying? The commentator in the Bible Knowledge Commentary says of this Greek word, the idea is to set the timer of one's temper for a long run. Think long. Focus on the final lap in the race of life. Have a long fuse. That when you're going through, don't want to jump out of it right now. And you know what? You know what? If you set your mind for the long run, if God shows up a little bit earlier, then guess what? You can rejoice. And you can say, whoo, man, I'm glad you showed up early in this, God. I'm glad that you took me out of this early. But when you get in it,
you got to have the mindset that you're in it for a long time. He said, be patient. Have a long temper through it. Focus on the last lap that you can see it coming. The second thing he says, look at the farmer. He said, behold the farmer, that he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Look at the example of the farmer. Three things. Look at this. The farmer has absolutely no control over the weather. He got to wait for the rain. He can't get outside and start hollering up at the sky and say, rain, rain. He just got to wait. He just got to wait, man. Oh, Lord, it sure would be good to get some rain today. But he got to wait. Oh, God, it sure would be good if my loved one would get right today. Oh, God, you know, I lost somebody that was precious to me. And it sure would be good, Lord, if I was all better today. God, you know, the hurt from this relationship that I've gone through, Lord, it just seems like the wound is still fresh from it, God, and I just wish it would go away. Farmer got to wait. He just has to wait. You got to put your mind in it for the long run. Not only does he has no control over the weather, he waits a long time for the results. You know, you plant now, and you reap in the fall. You can't plant now and the next day be eaten off of what you planted. You got to wait. But now here goes the third thing about the farmer. Is that he works hard while he's waiting. While he's waiting. Oh, there goes a weed. Oh, where's my hose at? Oh, you know what? I need to get a little fertilizer. He works hard while he's waiting. The farmer does what he can do. And so even though we get in this waiting posture, in this waiting mode, that just don't mean that you sit back on your rusty dusty, all right? That means that you need to do whatever it is that you can do. The farmer, he waits on the Lord. And then finally, he says in verse 8, he says, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. He said, be patient, establish, strengthen your hearts. Look at your notes. Establish your hearts. The word establish comes from the Greek word sterizo. Now, with all the stuff that we have happening in Washington with sports today, you don't even need to know what the English translation of that is. All right? Steroids. All right? He said what? Take some steroids. No, just some spiritual steroids. not the steroids. I mean, I know when I was in college, man, I saw guys when I was playing football. Them guys would come to camp as freshmen, and, you know, they'd be working out, and, you know, they didn't play that first year. They came back next year looking like King Kong, man. I was wondering how they get that. Man, some guys must have worked hard this summer. I come to find out, man, they was on the juice. They was able to run jokers over, man. I mean, boom! Run people over and run people down. I said, wow, man. But you know what? That was the wrong way to do it. That was the wrong way to do it. But you see what it did with that steroid?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 5. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Called to Suffer, Part 5, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 5. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 5. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.